Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yes. Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. With less than 8 minutes left in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Cavaliers led the Knicks 93-71 in a quiet Madison Square Garden. And it all went wrong for Cleveland as New York went on a 44-11 run to send the game into overtime and come away with the 115-104 victory, the largest playoff comeback in Knicks franchise history. Jalen Brunson scored 38 points for New York, 17 of those in the fourth and in overtime. Knicks will host Game 2 tomorrow night at 8. In baseball last night, the Guardians beat the Tigers 4-3 in Detroit. The Reds topped the Phillies 4-1 in Philadelphia. The Clippers were rained out last night at Huntington Park. They'll resume things with Louisville today at 12:05. Ohio State baseball fell to Rutgers last night in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. They'll play Washington today at 2 o'clock. You can hear Buckeye baseball over on the Fan 2. That's 1460 on the AM dial. Tyler Danberg will have the coverage at 1:55. To dissect the Cavaliers' collapse last night in Game 1, former Buckeye Scooney Pendle joined Bo Bishop in 30 minutes right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3-1-2-1-2. Scooney Penn going to join at 9:30 on what transpired last night in the Garden and the NBA playoffs at large. 10 o'clock, we'll do a little higher or lower. 10:30, Jake Trotter is dropping by. Big Ten meetings taking place out in Southern California. We'll get his view on everything that's happening out there. 11 o'clock, it is your turn. A Hey Guys First Friday. Get your questions into the fellas at 971-BFS. You can also do so in the YouTube chat. We will take those live and can take those live during that segment. Of course, we close it all out with your officially endorsed. Be safe out there, kids. We got some crazy weather rolling through. We've got accidents on the outer belt as well. One in this case, tragic. So be careful out there, kids. Give yourself a little bit of extra time as you're navigating around things today. I could feel it happening. I'm not invested in this Cavaliers team, not the way Reese is, not close. But I had it on, watched from start to finish. It was so much fun in the second and third quarter, the third quarter especially, as they separated and you go, boy, they're looking like the team that was built to do this is what they were looking like. And then it all crumbled and you could feel it coming. And it was honestly the first time that Jalen Brunson took James Harden right to the cup and finished left hand high off the glass and it went in. That's a really difficult shot to make, that shot angle, because you have to put the ball, you got to kiss it and it's got to go so high off the glass that you get the proper angle for it to go in. And when that went in, my wife was sitting there, the boys had been to bed because we said, quite frankly, there's nothing to see here. You can go to sleep. You're going to win the game. And when that shot went in, I nudged her and I'm like, that's not good. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, nah, that's not good. That's not good. This is a guy who's a microwave type player. And when it starts to go his way, it's hard to make it not go his way. And then time after time, no doubt if you watch, don't need me going through every single play, but time after time, Jalen Brunson would find a way to get James Harden on him. Sometimes it was a straight up matchup that they had. And then when they made a substitution, finally, Kenny Atkinson, even when they did, they would just hunt him. They just hunt him in screen and roll and they would put Brunson on Harden and Brunson just ate him for lunch. He finished with 38. I think Reese said 17 in the fourth quarter, alone. The most staggering thing, a 44-11 run by the Knicks to end this game in the fourth quarter and overtime. As collapses go, it's an all-timer. It's not as painful as any of this from a Cleveland sports fan perspective, and I wasn't a Cleveland sports fan at this time. I'm certainly married into that. But it's not in the vicinity of any of the stuff that happened in the late 80s. It's not in the vicinity, to me, of the J.R. Smith timeout. It's game one of an Eastern Conference final. The sun came up today. You can still win the series. I don't subscribe to the notion that because you lost the one the way that you did today that all of a sudden the series is over. I don't buy that either. I think there's a couple of different ways to spin it. You could say, hey, we had that lead to begin with. We took foot off the gas, whatever. There's a lot of ways to spin it. I don't think it necessarily means that the series is going to be over one way or another from the Cavaliers' perspective. But you also cannot diminish that this was an all-time choke job. It was an all-time choke job by the Cavaliers, by their coaching staff. Their approach was stunning. It wasn't just Brunson hunting Harden over and over and over, basically the whole fourth quarter. It wasn't just that, and Harden having no option for it. It was almost just as bad at the offensive end, where they would burn 19 seconds a clock and then somehow throw an awkward pass to James Harden and say, go bail us out. And it was almost like what was killing him on one end was then killing him on the other, and Harden was in the middle of both of it. He could not get a shot. I was counting. I thought only two times Donovan Mitchell said, all right, I'm going to go get one. And while all of this run was happening, and he missed both. One was a layup. One was a floater. He missed both of them. It was largely, all right, we can't get anything in the pick and roll game. Let's kick it to James and have him just try to create nonsense and draw a foul in the last 7 minutes of the game. It's not a way to win. If anything, it was probably Kenny Atkinson exposed for those of us who watch this team from a 30,000 foot level, the way that a lot of people have complained about him who watch it every day. It's a tough, tough watch. It's a brutal collapse. It's an all-time collapse. We'll see what the reverberations are for the rest of the series. But a massive opportunity lost. Massive.
Good news. Kenny Atkinson's got those timeouts he can use in game two.
Stupefying.
The idea that he would just let Brunson get hot like that and not call a timeout just to cool everybody off was mind-boggling. They blew a 15-point lead at Christmas to these very same New York Knicks. They didn't have Harden then, so it was equally, I think it was extra frustrating last night just watching Harden dribble at times late when nobody else was doing anything offensively, and it's like, that can't be the guy. I've also never seen Mike Breen holster a bang the way he did. With that Sam Merrill three that was...
Oh, the one at the end.
The halfway down. And then it just popped back out. And it was kind of like, well, we'll see you Wednesday for this. And I think that's the best thing to take away from last night for the Cavs, is you've got a game tomorrow. And so, yeah, last night sucked. And when you want to put this... Because people were very quick after that game last night to put this in the pantheon of Cleveland sports losses. And you can certainly have that discussion. It was either 17 or 18, where Cleveland lost game one of the NBA Finals to the Warriors. And I think it was that...
No, it's a J.R. Smith timeout.
J.R. Smith just didn't know, and situationally didn't know. And you felt that was... you could have had Golden State there and maybe made a series of this. This isn't that. So I don't think even if after this series you have that conversation. But I'm so tired of watching James Harden. Because with all the good you get, this is more that in the playoffs from Harden, who's been doing this his entire career. In the postseason, big moments when you need him, he's just gone. And I don't know what happened to Donovan Mitchell, but it's like the bad juju from Harden like rubbed off on him.
Mitchell was perfect for three quarters, and then just disappeared in the fourth. It was crazy.
And that can't happen above anything else with this Cavs squad, because there is nobody else that'll take over a game like that.
I was not watching last night. I was watching some other things, but I was checking in on the phone, seeing what the score was, and it seemed like this game was close. And then all of a sudden I look and the Cavs are up 20, and it's in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, oh, well, they got this. So I figured it was time to go to bed. I was like, let's throw on the Buckeye baseball game because that'll be easy to fall asleep to. Check Twitter one last time. And all of a sudden, Cavs fans are losing their mind because this thing is going the other way quickly. And I couldn't help but think, man, I've seen a lot of Jackets games like this over my time. And then I got thinking about this more, and I know probably no Cavs fan wants to hear this right now. But if you go on and win this series and you go to the NBA championship, nobody's ever going to remember this. Nobody's going to talk about it. Yeah. It's going to be a footnote in history. And also, these things happen. We talked about hockey. This happened multiple times in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far, where a team had a 3-goal lead and they end up losing it and they can go on and recover from it. And I know nobody wants to hear that in the moment. And Bo, you talked about this weeks ago. James Harden might be the most frustrating basketball player to have on your team ever. But the best thing is the Cavs can go to New York again tomorrow night and they can even this thing up and go home with home court advantage.
James Harden is a 36-year-old man, guys. He is a 36-year-old man. We're in the fourth quarter of a game that you were leading, who's been bounced around the league. He's on his, what, fifth team? One, two, three, four, five, sixth team, right? And the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were built with like this core in the fourth quarter, leaned on him entirely. You watch the fourth quarter of this last, it's all him. It was all him. They couldn't get anything going offensively, so they'd pitch it to him, and then he'd have to. And it's not on. It's not his fault. It's not at all his fault. They're putting him in that spot,
and that's who he is.
This is who he is. Except he's 36.
Yeah.
This isn't even him at 28 when like he was winning MVPs and in his prime. This is a long time ago. This is a guy who averaged 36 a game one season in the NBA. He averaged one season. He averaged 36.5 assists a game. He's a super duper star. He's not anymore. If you're building an operation that's got these young core and Donovan Mitchell, to me, Mitchell should have had the ball in his hand the entire fourth quarter to operate. And instead, it was Harden the majority of the time. And the funny thing, you're right, Bake, in terms of if you were paying attention on social, there are Cavs fans that I follow on social who are taking shots at Kylie Jenner.
I did when they were up 23. I was like,
you're who I'm talking about.
Boy, it's a shame that Kylie Jenner couldn't be at Madison Square Garden for this.
You're who I'm talking about.
And then it just all fell apart.
It's too close to the sun for Reese.
Because you didn't
too
have close
to the sun.
As many gratuitous shots of these celebrities because they were getting their asses kicked. And then as soon as they start
how
to make
about
that
at
run,
the end?
As soon as Brunson starts to heat up, every other shot.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon's Fallon. A Knicks
Give
fan.
Some Ben Stiller.
Timothy Chalamet's hugging. What,
he's hugging people up. It's Tracy Morgan. He's hugging Tracy Morgan. Giving him a little love.
It's the worst.
Your worst nightmare.
Oh, it was so bad.
Roost.
It was so painful.
All right. Much more on this. The Big Ten meeting at their resort out in Southern California. Some interesting stuff from Petiti. We will get to that as well. We're off and running on a First Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Do you suffer from late?
Atlas Beller has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered showers and storms on and off throughout the day today, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy with temperatures getting into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, we turn mostly cloudy overnight and breezy with lows in the upper 40s. And then Thursday is my pick of the week with mostly sunny skies, breezy winds, and highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Our top men are working on everything. Except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Where does this rank in terms of the inevitability of it? Did you feel that way, Reese? Did it feel inevitable to you that they would come all the way back?
So there was a moment with about, no, not until about 90 seconds left.
Oh, wow.
I think Brunson might have put one up on Harden, who just stands there. It was like 96-99 at that point. I'm like, yep, that's see you Wednesday. But I thought that Donovan Mitchell would wake up.
He didn't even engage, really.
Right.
They didn't choose to engage him.
They just kind of
went around their business the whole fourth quarter without ever having anything contemplated.
Atkinson's the kind of coach, and you've seen this before during the regular season, and Casuals got to see it last night, where he's going to let his guys play. play your way out of this. And as infuriating as it is, he's going to make Donovan Mitchell force himself into the offense. Like, he's going to say, Donovan Mitchell, you're the alpha. I'm not calling anything for you. You've got to take the ball.
Yeah.
And that's in that kind of a situation, the onus needs to come on the coach, especially when you're seeing Brunson heat up the way he is, the way you're seeing Harden just not even look like he's trying out there at times. You have to call the timeout. You have to be the head coach and say, Donovan Mitchell, this is your team. You've got to go be that alpha.
There was one moment where there's the moment where I knew it was cooked, completely cooked. It was trending bad the whole quarter, but this one doesn't get, I don't know if this one will get talked much in the NBA heads. So, OG Anunoby's at the foul line. He makes a free throw with about 3 minutes to go to cut it to 97-90. Cavs are up 7, 97-90. The second free throw misses and Evan Mobley corrals the rebound. And out of nowhere, Scott Foster calls a loose ball foul on Sam Merrill. Do you remember this play?
Yeah.
He calls a loose ball foul on Sam Merrill. And the ESPN crew kind of glazes over it. Mike Breen does say, not a lot there. I mean, it really has nothing to do with the rebound. It has nothing to do with anything. The ball is caroming towards the Knicks bench. Evan Mobley grabs it. Two Cavs players and a Knicks player kind of like all hit the ground. They become entangled and kind of all fall on the ground. And Scott Foster, who's, again, not the referee right in front of it. He's on the other side of the court. He came running in demonstratively. No, no, no. Foul. Ball out of bounds. Knicks inbound the ball. Mikal Bridges hits a three. It went from 97 to 90, and you have the basketball, to 97-93. Harden misses a three at the other end. Knicks get the rebound. Cavs miss again. Donovan Mitchell misses a two. Then you get Jared Allen gets it back to six, and then away you go. You hit a Brunson three, and that's the one you're talking about to make it 99-99. But that one instance where a referee, it's going to get missed because the collapse is inexcusable, and I'm not putting it on one call, but it's an instance where that is a massive sliding doors moment for a game. You have the ball up seven with 3 minutes to go with the basketball. It's taken away from you. Now, instead of with the chance to go up 9 or 10, you're up 4.
Yeah.
That was a massive swing. At that point, I'm like, okay, cooked. You got Landry Shamet hitting threes and every. I mean, at that point, it's
overtime
like
was almost unwatchable because I had no confidence. I think they might have scored 3 points.
My wife goes, "Are you turning it off?" And I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, how do you know they're going to lose?" I'm like, "They're down 9 in about 6 seconds in overtime, honey. They're losing. I don't mean to break it to you, but they're losing." Atkinson just stood and watched like glass-eyed for much of this. He was like grinning. He just odd. He was asked post-game if he ever thought about sitting James Harden down the stretch. Here was his answer.
No. Listen, he's been one of our best defenders in these playoffs. I trust him. You know, smart, great hands. Didn't think about that.
Okay. How about this one, Kenny? Did you think about using a timeout as the Knicks made their run?
Yeah, well, I like to hold my timeouts. I mean, I didn't want to have one timeout at the end of the game, 1 or 2 point game, and try to hold them, you know.
Like, what? You can't take them with you.
Well, the string of delusion continues. Here he is on the defense against Brunson.
I mean, we held him in check most of the game, right? It was basically fourth quarter. He got loose, and, you know, we definitely tried to mix up some stuff, throw some stuff at him. We'll have to keep looking at it. Hit a lot of, you know, his tough floaters and hit that, you know, tough contested three. I felt like they hit a lot of tough shots. I mean, the two Bridges threes, like, you know, kind of what are you going to do, you know?
You're going to play defense. So the Bridges three that pulls him within 30 with 90 seconds left, there's just no defense played. And so I get from Atkinson's point where he's trying to paint this turd gold, literally gold. But, man, you're just thrown out a bunch of coach speak at the worst possible time.
So,
because three quarters, yes, you played pretty good defense on Jalen Brunson. Then the fourth quarter happened.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, well, we did this for this amount of time. The game's four quarters. Your case, it was also overtime.
Well, you want more delusion? Here he is saying how they adjusted, how they were going to slow down Brunson in the fourth.
Yeah, we adjusted. We adjusted to that. You know, started sending two at him, getting the ball out of his hands, full rotating. So we adjusted. You know, James is good most of the game. Listen, we weren't great defensively in the fourth quarter. And like I said, the ball stuck a little bit too much. You know, that was a key.
Stuck to James Harden.
It did, yeah. Basically, when they got in trouble, they just got it to him and said, and at that part, again, I don't know what happens. Like, you probably can't not have him on the court. So I'll ask Scooney. He'll join in 5 minutes. Ask him what you do in that scenario that would have been better than what they ended up doing. Go ahead, Vic.
So if James Harden is one of your better defensive players, I feel like there's a problem right there. Like, you have a problem because James Harden's never been somebody that's even considered for an all-defensive team, to the best of my knowledge. So that's a problem right there. I also understand wanting to have timeouts for a close game, but don't let it get to be a close game. Use your timeout. Like, we've seen baseball evolve where a lot of these managers will throw their closer in the seventh inning because it's a high leverage situation. They're not worried about the ninth inning and getting to that point. Like, they want to nip this in the bud now. So I don't understand, like, if you get up 22, maybe you don't take a timeout. Maybe you don't need the other three. And you can prevent this from getting into a game where you need timeouts. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, it didn't. You take your, you know, we're looking at this through wine and gold colored glasses. Obviously, Reese is diehard, and certainly my kids like him a lot. My wife's from Cleveland, so all of that makes sense. And, you know, I root for them. Bake, you're probably with me. Like, you root for them, but it's not like something you're massively invested in. From a pure sporting perspective, and if you can separate this, Reese, I know it'll be tough. That last 20 minutes at Madison Square Garden was bonkers. And I know it's a bitter taste in your mouth, but just from a sport perspective,
so
and
good.
Oh my god,
because that atmosphere is as good as you're ever going to get in the National Basketball Association.
Oh my god, I mean, that was just nuts. It's so interesting because in all of this training we do and all the specialization we do in sports, all of this stuff that is supposed to like eliminate variables, crowd is a variable that still matters. The crowd carried them. The crowd, the weight of that crowd on the Cavaliers on the offensive end was tangible. You could feel it. They were terrified to do anything. Absolutely terrified. And with every shot that fell for the Knicks, they just got more and more revved up. And it's an example of what a crowd can do. We see it in hockey all the time. You see it in basketball is the one where I notice it the most, though, because the runs that happen in basketball are so
tangible. Does it have the most effect?
Tangible. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it does. I think hockey is such a read and react sport. You almost don't have time to even set things up. I mean, just basketball, like the 24-second shot clock, the time you have to kind of get settled, there's none of that in hockey. You're just reacting. And so my guess is, as you're playing hockey in a tight game in the third period, you're just hearing kind of like noise. Football probably is similar. Like, you can, you know, I suppose if you're on the road, 2-minute drill trying to tie, it can affect you a little bit. And certainly there's effect defensive noise on the other way of that. But basketball to me is the one where a run can be fueled by a crowd. And that was nitroglycerin last night. What you saw with New York. Scooney's been in these spots. He's coached him. He's played him. He's a point guard. He knows what Brunson was going through. He's going to join us in 2 minutes with a breakdown. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
Sup, Jew?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, let's head out on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. What's up is 1212. He is a 2-time first team All Big Ten. He's a Buckeye Hall of Famer. He's played it. He's coached it at an elite level. As you're watching this thing last night, Scoon, when did you know the Cavs were in trouble?
It was probably
the 8 minute mark in the fourth, around that time, for some reason, they started, well, not from some reason, about time, they started making shots, and the Cavs offense became real stagnant. Donovan Mitchell couldn't get off. They were targeting Harden. Brunson started getting hot. It was like you could see it happening, and it was almost like Cavs couldn't do anything to stop it at all. It was just, I couldn't believe it. I thought Cavs had that game in the bag. I did.
I'm with you. So I thought when Brunson hit the left-handed one where he takes Harden, it's one of the first ones of his run. Yep. It's a lefty kind of going out of bounds, and I know like the angle that ball has to go on to go in, and I'm like, oh, he's got it. He's feeling it. Like if you can, and he did that on the other side too, on the right side, and he started going a little bit. Just from a, you know what this league is about. It's about hunting. They hunted Harden for the entire fourth quarter. They put him, they found ways to get him on, Brunson the entire fourth quarter. And then finally, when they started bringing a double at him, they would just kick it to open threes and they'd knock it down. What could Kenny Atkinson have done different to prevent what ended up being how the Knicks took advantage of this thing, which is they put Harden, find a way to get Harden on Brunson?
Well, there was two options, right? Either you don't switch, you have him hug his man and go over every screen so they don't switch it and have him guard someone else, or you take him out of the game, right? I think the part that people don't understand is playoff basketball is very different. The scouting is different. You want to get to a certain point in the game so you can utilize what you feel you have an advantage, and that's what the Knicks did. They knew that if we can get this game close, or when it gets down to the fourth quarter, Harden's the guy we have to target. And this is why you figure a lot of people are great regular season players. Mm-hmm. It's just something different about the playoffs that you have to be prepared for. And you have to play on both sides of the court. And they did a great job targeting Harden. But Harden, you've been a vet for all these years. He just has to be better. He has to be better than that.
Scootie, the one time, it was an unnecessary switch. I thought he was sticking, and then he switched, and it should have been Wade. Like, Wade was on Brunson, and it was a screen way out, away from the rim. And it was almost like Harden voluntarily switched it.
Well, because if you watch throughout the game, right, they were switching everything, a lot of point switching. It was very easy. And that's what they got accustomed to. They just fell right into that, where that's on Harden, where you have to yell, stay. He was just looking to switch because, again, what happens is when you don't switch, it takes more work. It's a little harder. You have to fight over screens. Yeah. It becomes more physical. The refs let you play a little bit more. The easiest thing to do was just a switch, and I don't have to have anyone bumping me. And that's kind of been Harden's way out. That's what he's done throughout his career.
I'm giggling because it's what I tell like my 10 and 12-year-olds. It's easy to switch screens. It's hard to go over them or go under them. I need you to choose to do the hard thing. I've said that 1,000 times in practices because of the exact same reason. Here's a 36-year-old doing it in the Eastern Conference Finals. Scoon, it wasn't just on the defensive end, though, too. I thought the Cavs on the offensive end, it was almost like, okay, this pick-and-roll action isn't happening. Let's just give it to Harden with 7 seconds on the shot clock and see if he can make something happen. Like, they were so over-reliant on him on the offensive end, too. Why was that the case?
I don't know. I'm screaming at the TV, like, for Donovan Mitchell to keep the ball. Like, I get it. Harden's a future Hall of Famer. But at this stage of their careers, Donovan Mitchell is that guy for the team. He should have been the guy with the ball in his hands attacking more than Harden was. Harden cannot get by anyone in these days. He has to push off for every shot. And he's very easy to guard. I just could not understand that. And listen, maybe, you know, Coach Atkinson has done a great job to this point. I know people are going to be on his back about this loss last night, but at some point, you have to relinquish the power from the superstars, take over as a coach, and do what's right for the team, and that was put the ball in Donovan Mitchell's hands, who had 29 points for the longest, who couldn't get a basket, did not get any shot attempts. I did not understand this at all, that he was not the guy with the ball in his hands at the end of the game. It should have been Donovan Mitchell, not James Harden at all.
It was stupefying. It was and I just wonder sometimes, like, if you, I was saying in a previous segment, Scoon, like, you're right. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a MVP of the league. He averaged 36-8. The playoff stuff is the playoff stuff. It's all there. But I do wonder if Donovan looks at him and still feels like he's 28-year-old James Harden. That's kind of what it seemed like to me. Like, he was just acquiescing. Like, oh, no, you go. This, and man, Donovan's been there a long time. Like, this is his moment. He's a New York kid. Like, come on.
Yeah. I thought the same thing in the Detroit series. There were times when I thought, okay, Mitchell, end of the game, go ahead and take over. He walks the ball up, gives it to Harden, and he goes to the side. And I'm watching, like, is everyone, are they not watching the same game I'm watching? Because at this point of their career, Donovan Mitchell, this is your team. You was here first. You're the guy who basically got us his position, and yet they give the ball to Harden. I couldn't believe it. I'm stuck on it. I think Cleveland will make adjustments. I think they will watch this film. They should have been watching it last night and right now as we speak. Make adjustments and make sure you put that ball in Donovan Mitchell's hands, and then find a way late in the game, how do we keep Harden off the ball? How do we not have him cover Brunson? That is going to be key.
It is. It's going to be the whole operation because they'll just keep doing it. And Brunson was just blood in the water with that. In terms of, I'm curious your view of this, having coached in the league as long as you did and played as much hoop as you did. The conventional wisdom would be, okay, you blow a game like that, series is over. There's no way you're coming back from that. The good news is you play in 2 days. How would you handle this Cavs team? What would your messaging be in terms of putting that one in the rear view and getting back to work for game two? How do you get over it?
So being in these kind of positions before, obviously the psyche is very delicate at this stage. You guys blew a lead, a win, basically. So what you do now is you have to scratch that. And how you do that is you have to think of the previous three quarters. The Cavs played excellent. They played great defense throughout the game. They made shots. That's what you have to focus on. So you show these guys film. You talk about all the good stuff that they've done just so they keep believing and know that, listen, we're capable. We won this game. We had it in the bag. We were the better team for three quarters of the game. We just blew it at the end. You have to keep them in that mindset. Because if they keep thinking about this debacle that they did at the end of the game, that's going to carry over to game two, three, four. And before you know it, the Cavs are going to be going to Cancun. So just as much encouragement as possible. You know, keep these guys' spirits up. But more than anything, let them know, listen, we were the better team for the majority of this game, and we're very capable of winning this series. And this whole thing switches back if they win the next game. So it's not a complete loss for these guys already.
You're a basketball purist. Love the game. When you're a point guard, damn good one.
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching Brunson kind of, he basically had him on skates. He had everybody on skates the whole fourth. Your appreciation level of somebody being able to take over a game like that on that stage
is big time. Yeah, that's what you grew up watching. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know what you don't see a lot of times? You haven't seen it for a long time. We have a small guard doing it, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up, my favorite player of all time is Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he used to do come the playoffs. I remember what he did against the Lakers on that bum ankle, how he went and scored all those points in the fourth quarter.
How like, dare you bring
a guy
that up.
Like him. Yeah, I'm sorry. But but that's what I remember. You know, when you have special guards. I know a lot of times you've seen LeBron do it. We've seen Jordan do it. We've seen Kobe. You can go down the line. But when you have the smaller guards do it, it just adds a different dimension. It's just something different to watching AI do it. You know, Isaiah Thomas do it. You know, now Brunson's doing it. Like, that's, you know, especially for me. That's near and dear for me. So watching it put on the clinic, you know, on one side I'm like going crazy because Brunson's doing this. On the other side, I'm looking at the Cavs going crazy, but like, well, why are you letting him do this? Like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's fun. I'm playing both sides of the field, and I'm kind of enjoying it right now.
It was unbelievable. I'll get you out of here on this one because you've played in that place. You've played in that place. You played really well in that place. Yeah, I think it was, if you could take the Cavs part of it out of it, the last 8 minutes in that barn, Scooney, was an electric factory. What makes that place so special to play in?
It's just, first, let me say this. It's the most electrifying arena you will ever find. Every guy in the NBA wants to have their best game in Madison Square Garden. What makes it the Garden, it makes it so great, is that, first and foremost, the fans, they're going to yell at you all game. They're going to say wild stuff to you all game. Then you have Celebrity Row, and then you have the history of the Garden. Like, and it's New York City. You're right downtown, smack dead in the middle of it. And you just feel all the energy all day. Riding up in the bus, if you're the visiting team, you see the people outside giving you the finger, like just yelling at you. And it pumps you up. So when guys have great games in there, and when there's great games, period, like, that's the best place. And I would tell anyone who's listening, if you have an opportunity, if you have not yet, you have to go to Madison Square Garden and watch a basketball game. That has to be on the bucket list.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. It was. By the way, the West Final Game 1 felt like an NBA Finals Game 7. So we're in for a pretty good start for this thing, aren't we, my man?
We are, and I can't wait for the one game, the next game, the next game. Like, I got my popcorn ready for every single game.
Appreciate you, buddy. As always, thank you for your perspective.
All right, take care.
There he goes, the great Scoony Penn, 1212 on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll go around the sports world. Ryan Day tells a little truth on the 2014 playoff. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Hey, Columbus.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Men in Ice.
If you hit a fadeaway on Tree Rollins, you'd remember his name.
But I think in time, Tree Hollins, that name would fade a little bit.
Tree Rollins?
Faded in 2 seconds.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Makes you feel a little bit better when you're a basketball watching relative novice and then you have a basketball savant like Scoony has all the same problems you have with it. Like, he's going, I don't know what's going on. You're like, oh, okay. So I am seeing it correctly. That did help a little bit, getting a little bit of therapy from 1212. The Big Ten is meeting out in Southern California. The Big Ten, they're the Big Ten meetings. It's not Big Ten Media Day. It's the Big Ten meetings. So this is, last year, I think they were in Vegas for this. This was the thing we lamented. Why did they not invent the media? Now this year they did invite the media. It's in Southern California, Terranea Resort, which is Rancho Palos Verdes, I believe, right
so
on the coast.
How much is that a night?
I would imagine around $1,000 a night.
How many nights are they staying?
Yeah. Well, it's not a great look. It's not a great look.
We got no money. Fans, round up, please.
It's not a great look. And I'm not sitting here suggesting that a bunch of athletic directors and presidents and conference commissioners should go stay at budget hotels along the side of the freeway. I'm not suggesting that.
But do it over Zoom.
But yes, you could do it over Zoom. If you want to do it face-to-face, I'm even fine with that. But there are centrally located places that make a little bit more sense for this time of year that are not five-star resorts on the coast in Southern California. There's a way to, you could go to the JW Marriott in Indianapolis and you'd pay $300 or $400 a night and that would not have near the look that this had. You could stay at any number of the great hotels that we have in this city and you could spend $300 or $400 a night and you'd be putting up in great accommodations. You'd have great meals. You'd have all of it centrally located. Their choice was to go to one of the most expensive places in the United States to have a conference meeting. And the look of that is a tough look when you're basically saying we've got to find money. Well, maybe stop spending $100,000 on your spring meetings, because I see no scenario how it's not $100,000. None. And I understand in this scenario, $100,000 is a drop in the bucket. But in a way, it's kind of a microcosm of all the issues we all have with this. Everybody at the top continues to get richer and richer and richer while crying poor for everybody else. And they're screwing up your sport in the process. And that's the thing that's a tough swallow.
And I'm sure there are some things that they are talking about that maybe none of them have talked about before. But it seems like the only two things that are being talked about out there are the 2014 playoff and how they're standing firm on that, which we've already known for a year that the Big Ten was in solidarity on that, and changing the punt.
Right. They're really passionate about changing the punt.
Because, you know, we all last season lamented how it was being poorly.
What are they trying to do with the punt?
I don't even know. They're like changing the formation where two guys can only line up here and two guys here. Or I don't know. And none of the coaches like it, but it's getting passed anyway. And
Yeah, all 18 football coaches are against a new NCAA punting rule.
That okay. Yeah.
Basically, yeah, it does nothing.
I think the look of this is tough for the Big Ten. I think it's a tough look. I think it's a bad look. I think it's a bad look for your fans. I think it's a bad look for, like, how many people. I know Docterman's out there, and we have Scott on, and maybe we'll work on getting him on next week to kind of recap all of this. Pete Thamel's out there. Who on the Ohio State beat made that trip? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
Was it by invite only, I'm assuming?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I don't know. I guess we could ask. I'll ask Jake when he's on in 40 minutes if he was invited. But it seemed like the Petiti conversation took place. There was a gathered media that was there to cover it, and that damn sure isn't anybody from Los Angeles. So that's some national folks, and I'm guessing there are some beat people that went out there to cover this thing. But no, this is not easy. It's not easy for go to our employers and say, hey, we're going to go to we want to go cover Big Ten meetings. It's in Los Angeles. We're going to need 3 rooms for 4 nights. And do that to any employer who's handling people who cover these teams. And who's doing that? Nobody. Nobody's doing that. So, like, and then all the while to say, essentially, we got to find money. It's a tough look. It's a very, very tough look. Ryan, go ahead, Vic.
I was just going to say, we played that audio 2 or 3 weeks ago from when Ross Bjork sat down with the student from the Lantern and had that interview. And we weren't blaming Ross Bjork for it, but it was tough. It looked tough then. It looks tougher now.
It does. Yeah, it does. The perception of it is it's pretty brutal to say that you have to find money while behaving in a way that certainly seems like you're not. My guess is none of them flew commercial either. Ryan Day is out there, and good for him. It's a great place to spend a week. Play a little golf. Got a gorgeous golf course there. Beautiful pools. Views the Pacific. It's as beautiful a place as you're ever going to be. It's literally perched on a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. That's how money this place is that they're staying. Terranea is the name of the resort. He was quoted on the 2014 playoff and spoke a little truth. He said, quote, it's debatable. This is to Adam Rittenberg. It's debatable whether it's best for Ohio State. You can go back and forth on that. It's certainly best for the conference and great for college football in general. It engages more fan bases late in the season. This is the talking point that Petiti is really hammering home, is this belief that more fan bases will be engaged later in the season. He even, and we'll get to this a little later, even uses like his experience in Major League Baseball, how having more teams with a chance to make the postseason helps them longer. That's kind of his big running point on this. Here's the thing that I think he's having a hard time understanding. When Iowa plays Minnesota, it matters regardless of their ability to get into a playoff or not. Because they've been playing that game for 100 years and they play for a bronze pig. It matters. College football historically did not need this. College football historically did not need the chance. College football historically did not need all of the teams all trying to be the same talent level like every other sport, professional sport in this country is. That's the way the drafts are set up, so that the teams are bad can draft high and away we go. Parity. It's what the professional sports want. That's not what college football has been about. And what they're trying to do is jam parity down your throat in the term of a 2014 playoff. That's what they're trying to do. And they're trying to tell you the difference between the team ranked third and the team ranked 17th is so minimal that we ought to see them play to prove it. That's what they're trying to tell you. And they're going to try to tell you that it's better for the sport because now team that's ranked number 17 is going to be playing for something more. And they're trying to tell you that the teams ranked in the top 8 are going to be incentivized to win because they want the bye. That's what they're trying to say.
I remember a time last year where we were putting Tony Petiti's face on a milk carton. Like, we don't hear from this guy, and I don't shut up.
Well,
it's like he's evolved into today, Greg. Yeah. It's like he's evolved into Greg Sankey.
On that front, I support it. At least he's...
He's doing his job.
He's getting his messaging out.
Right.
I don't think this is the best way to do it, but at least he is.
And he's doing his job in the fact that his job is to look out
for
his universities.
Yeah.
And looking out for his universities is making them money. And you know what? It probably is better for Purdue if they have a chance to make a 2014 playoff. But it doesn't mean it's good for the sport. And no, it's not.
And it's certainly not good for Ohio State. It doesn't. Ohio State is almost.
Exempt from this.
They're exempt. Of course they are. Yeah, it really has no impact.
Don't tell me about the times Ohio State would have made the playoff had this thing been. Like, I don't need that PR spin. I've seen enough Ohio State football to know how good these teams have been. But when you have less people allowed into the club, it's a more special experience.
Yeah, it is. All right, second hour of the program coming up next. We'll ask Jake Trotter about this. We kick it off a little higher, lower. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem. Oh, yeah. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Game one of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals went to the home team last night in New York. The Knicks beat the Cavaliers 115-104 in overtime after Cleveland led by 23 points with 8 minutes left in the fourth. It's the largest postseason comeback in the last 13 years, largest in Knicks franchise history. Cavs can shake off the collapse with a win tomorrow night in Game 2 at Madison Square Garden at 8 o'clock. The series will head to Cleveland for Game 3 Friday. Game 2 in the West is tonight at 8:30. Oklahoma City's going to host San Antonio down 1-0. In baseball Tuesday, the Clippers were rained out last night at Huntington Park. Their game against the Louisville Bats was tied at 3 in the 8th. They'll set to resume play in the Arena District at 12:05 before playing Wednesday's regularly scheduled game. In the majors, the Guardians beat the Tigers 4-3 in Detroit. The Reds put a halt to their 3-game slide with a 4-1 win over the Phillies. This update sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof for exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right.
After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Jake Trotter going to join us in 29 minutes from now. Time to get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas at 971-BFS on the X platform. Also in the YouTube chat, we can take those there as well. Time now, though, for a little higher, lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
So I did lament not being here last Thursday to play the NFL's schedule game like you guys did with the Bengals and the Browns. And I know we had talked a couple weeks ago when college football talking heads were giving out their way too early top 25 and wondering, does their strength of schedule have anything to do with why a Notre Dame would be number one?
Yeah.
Or are these guys going it just off who they think is the best team? Well, Fox Sports and Ralph Vacciano did an NFL power ranking of all 32 teams after the schedule release. So this does take into consideration how easy or how difficult a team's strength of schedule is after last Wednesday's reveal. So at number one, or do we want to start at the top or bottom?
You can go top.
All right, let's go with number one, the Denver Broncos. Now, that's assuming a healthy Bo Nix. At number two, the Los Angeles Rams. At three, the Seahawks. At four, the Philadelphia Eagles. At five, the Baltimore Ravens. Higher or lower for the Ravens at five?
Okay, if what he did here was take schedule into effect, then I think the Rams have to be lower. Because I think the Rams are the best team. I think they could have been exponentially better had they just drafted a weapon instead of Ty Simpson, but that's a conversation for another day. But their schedule is absolutely brutal. 35,000 miles traveled, including a trip to Melbourne to open the season. I think that that is a brutal spot for the Rams. So I think that it's way too high for the Rams if you're taking the schedule into it. Not way too high, but they probably should be dropped a little bit just because the schedule is absolutely brutal. Really, for all those NFC West teams, it's really difficult for all of them. So I think they probably should go a little bit lower. I think I'm fine with an AFC North team being at five. I just think he's got the wrong one. I think it's the wrong AFC North team. So I would have Baltimore lower than they are on this list. I think I'm not going to underestimate complete regime change. Coordinators, head coach. They've lost a lot of guys, too. Giants got a lot of their guys. I think Baltimore takes a little mini step back this year, so I think it's lower for Baltimore.
So I think it's probably a little lower for Baltimore, too. Not much, though, just because I understand schedules play into this, but I still think the Baltimore Ravens are a really good team. Can we talk about the team at the top here with the Denver Broncos?
Please, please, yeah.
Like, what are we doing? I don't care if their schedule is easy. They are not the best team in the NFL. And you have Bo Nix concerns and questions right now with his health. So I don't understand. I don't see a world where the Denver Broncos, even with an easy schedule, are the best team in the NFL. I have a hard time seeing them in the top five, quite frankly. So I don't
have a problem with that either.
I think this is ridiculous that they would have the Denver Broncos number one.
By the way, the start of their season is brutal, the Broncos. So they do get the Chiefs in Arrowhead, likely without Mahomes. So I don't see how Mahomes
are we sure
play.
About that? There's a lot of reports that say he's on track.
Maybe it is. Is it an Achilles with him or a knee?
It was his knee, I believe.
His knee was shredded? Okay. All right, so they are at Chiefs, Jaguars, Rams at home, at 49ers, at Chargers, Seahawks. That's the Broncos' first six. That's pretty robust. Now, my guess is the reason he put them there is the way that they finish. Over the last half of the season, they get the Raiders twice, the Dolphins, the Jets. But they end Bills, Patriots, Chargers. So it's a great point out of you, Bake. It's way too high for Denver.
Mahomes is an ACL and an LCL.
Okay. Now he's got a chance.
So this is Ralph Vacciano of Fox Sports who ranked these. And to your point, Bo, he does say the first six games are just terrible. But assuming Denver survives that, there is a real soft middle of the schedule that could put them on a real run from weeks 7 to 15. So
the Cleveland Browns have an easy schedule too, Ralph. I wouldn't put them in number one.
Well, at number six, he's got the Buffalo Bills. At 7, the New England Patriots. At 8, the Jacksonville Jaguars. At 9, the Chicago Bears. At 10, the Houston Texans. 11, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Where are my guys?
Higher or lower for Cincinnati at 11?
Okay, look, I know sometimes they're near and dear to our heart. They're right down the road. They've got our guy at quarterback. They're incredibly fun to watch. If you take injury concern out of it, and I know that you can't do that because they've been banged up for the majority of the last 4 or 5 years. But if you take that out of it and you just look at their team on our lads and you just look at their schedule, you tell me how this, like, this is the AFC North team you could have at 5 and I don't think I'd have a problem with it. I don't really have any issue with their roster at all. And neither does Joe Burrow. They, to me, look like a team that's ready to go make a run at a Super Bowl. So I would have Cincinnati higher. I think they're better than New England. I think they're better than Buffalo. And again, I'm viewing them as they are right now, healthy. They're a healthy football team right now. To me, I don't know that there's a team in the AFC that I would have over them as it stands right now.
I would have the Bengals higher, too. Especially, and I get why people will knock the Bengals, because maybe if Joe Burrow has a history of injuries, but right now he's healthy, and you put the Denver Broncos at number one, who have a quarterback that has some ouchy concerns at the moment. So you can't knock the Cincinnati Bengals when you're giving another team the credit. So yeah, the Bengals right now, with that easy, we liked the Bengals before we saw their schedule.
Yeah.
And then to find out they have the third easiest schedule or something like that in the NFL, they have to be higher than 11.
When we did schedule game with them, Reese, I think we ended up like 13-4 and 12-5 with them.
Yeah, you and JP were 13-4. I was 12-5.
Yeah. Like, that's how easy the schedule is. And he actually writes it in there. They play just two 2025 playoff teams over the last 14 weeks, the Bengals do.
Pat's there. At number 12, again, this is from Fox Sports, the Kansas City Chiefs. At 13, the San Francisco 49ers. At 14, the Green Bay Packers. At 15, the Detroit Lions. At 16, Ryan Baker's favorite quarterback, Justin Herbert, and the Los Angeles Chargers. Higher or lower for LAC at 16?
I would have him higher. I like him. I actually, this pains me because I'd love him. I think the Lions are headed for a bit of a downturn. I think the window came and went, and they're headed for a little bit of a downturn here. So I would have the Chargers better than that. I like them better than Bake does. I would have them right in there in the 10 to 12 range. I think they're better than Jacksonville. I think they're as good as Houston, certainly as good as Houston. I think they're right there. I don't think there's not much difference between them and the Patriots either, quite honestly. The Patriots benefited last year from one of the most advantageous schedules, regular season and postseason, of any team to reach a Super Bowl, truly. So I think that I would have the Chargers higher than they are.
I would have the Chargers higher a little bit, too, probably in that 12 to 14 mm-hmm. range. I did see, Bo, that Florio was talking this morning about how this is a make-it-or-break-it year for Justin Herbert. Like, it's time for you to do something here.
What does that mean, though? Like, they're not going to trade him. You know what I mean? Like, I guess just from, like, our perspective, like, it's time for him to, like, go win a playoff game or whatever. I suppose that part's getting there, but just from the standpoint of, like, they're not going to release him or trade him, right?
I wouldn't think so, and I didn't see the whole, I didn't watch the whole clip, obviously, but just interesting that maybe some other people are starting to have my sentiment that I've had all along.
Yeah, I think that they're starting to, you know, you get a point in the league where you play 6-7 years, and you're supremely talented, and you have some weapons and some good coaching, like, it's time to go win some games. There's no question.
At 17 on this, again, Fox Sports did a power ranking of 32 NFL teams based off of the talent on the roster and their strength of schedule. So you've got Minnesota at 17, the Carolina Panthers at 18, the Giants at 19, Falcons at 20, the Cowboys at 21, Buccaneers 22, Colts 23, Commanders 24, the Steelers at 25. Higher or lower for Pittsburgh at 25?
I mean, history would tell us they'll be better just because they never have losing seasons. So, but to me, I mean, we played the game. To me, they scream 7-10, 8-9 is kind of what they scream to me. So I suppose you could go minimally higher, but not too much. I'm actually surprised they have Washington as low as they do. I feel like Daniels will bounce back a little bit. I've liked their draft. I've liked what they've done with their roster a little bit. I think Indy's too high on this list, especially with, you know, Danny Dimes coming off the injury. That one's a little bit interesting. I think Tampa Bay is going to fall off quite a bit, too, without Mike Evans, and they're in a little bit of a transition. So I'd probably put Pittsburgh up a little bit, Washington, too.
I feel like every year people predict Pittsburgh's demise, yet this is still a team that was 10-7 and in the playoffs mm-hmm. last year. McCarthy, I think he's a better coach than people give him credit for. I would have the Steelers higher here. By the way, the Falcons at 20, they're over under win total on the year is 7.5. But like the Browns, they are only favored in two of their games right now.
That was the Falcons?
Yeah. That kind of tells me the Falcons are in for a rough ride this year. 20 is way too high for them.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that.
We'll just round out the list here. At 26, the Saints, 27, the Titans, 28, the Browns, 29, the Jets, 30, Raiders, 31, Dolphins, 32, Cardinals. Can't go any lower, but higher or lower for Arizona at the final spot.
No, Arizona, the Jets, they should be the last two. And then I think it's way too low for the Raiders, especially if Cousins goes. Like, they have some weapons. I think they'll win. They're not going to be bottom third of the league. Cleveland's going to have to prove it, but the schedule is pretty navigable for them. And obviously, everybody's going to have to see what they do at quarterback. But I would have Cleveland better than Tennessee and New Orleans, too. I think Cleveland probably ought to start the year somewhere in the 25-26 range.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all of that, Bo. They should have a tie at the bottom with the Cardinals and the Jets, I believe. Yeah. And I do. I definitely think the Browns are better than the Titans. And I kind of have them and the Saints on a similar plane.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Iowa State Athletic Director has some thoughts on the Big Ten and the SEC. Is it warranted? We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Diamond and Ice are broadcasting live from the Memorial Pro-Am, and they'll be talking to very famous athletes and actors. And did you know that it's sponsored by the Waterworks and Ohio for Responsible Gambling? It is. Catch it all Wednesday, June 3rd at noon. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered showers and storms on and off throughout the day today, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy with temperatures getting into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, we turn mostly cloudy overnight and breezy with lows in the upper 40s. And then Thursday is my pick of the week with mostly sunny skies, breezy winds, and highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 80 years. You were doing the NFL higher lower there, and we get to the bottom, and I agree with you, Jets and Cardinals at the bottom. Let's say it all goes according to plan, and let's say that Arch has the incredible year, and like his two uncles, he's the first pick in the draft. Do you think he would play for either one of those operations?
Just because it would be so hard to tell two franchises no, I think so. You might be able to get away with one, but to say to the Jets and to the Cardinals, kick rocks.
Both from a football perspective, are decent landing spots in terms of the weapons. I mean, like, Arizona's got some weapons. They got Jeremiah Love, Marv. They got the tight end. Like, they, you know, Garrett Wilson's with the Jets, Breece Hall. Like, they've got some weaponry. And but it's New just York those ownership
probably fire Aaron Glenn.
Yes, they would if they got Manning. For sure, they would.
Maybe that would be the stipulation.
So it was funny. I was thinking, well, I mean, sure, why wouldn't you want to live in Arizona? But Eli said no to the Chargers. yeah. I think he would do New York just because of all the opportunities there. And I mean, Eli had a good run. I know it was with the Giants, but he had a great run in New York. And I do think all of the opportunities outside of football that would lay at Arch's feet, they're going to be there no matter where he is.
Yeah.
But especially in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his uncle lived there. So, I mean, you'd get kind of the start on all of that. But to Reese's point, yeah, I mean, it was, and Eli just told this story last week. He was on, I want to say, Bussin' with the Boys, the podcast, and talked about how it really wasn't his dad. It was him who said, yeah, I don't want to play there. They had a meeting with the Chargers organization at the time at a Marriott in New Orleans. They ate at the restaurant in the Marriott, which I'm sure is fine. But when you are in New Orleans, to not go eat at one of the iconic New Orleans places is pretty wild, to say the least. And he said that Schottenheimer ownership and A.J. Smith, who was then general manager, just bickered the whole meal. And it really had very little to do with anything other than I just can't trust these guys with my future. And obviously it worked out. He ended up in New York. But yes, in terms of places to live, Carlsbad, California, pretty dang good. La Jolla, pretty dang good. Those are nice places to live with nice views. In fact, I think Drew Brees still lives. I think he made his permanent residence out there. After playing all that time in New Orleans, he went back out to La Jolla, and that's where he's made his permanent house. All right, the Big Ten is spending this week at the Terranea Resort outside of Los Angeles. It's a gorgeous place. The Big Ten and the SEC are driving the bus on this. The Big Ten is having these relatively public meetings in this posh place as a retaliation for the SEC having theirs in Destin in about 2 weeks. This is exactly what this is for. It's all about messaging, all about all of these things. These two conferences are going to decide whatever college football is going forward. Whether it's a 12-team playoff and you stay there, whether it's 16, whether it's 24, they're going to determine the calendar, they're going to determine all of it, and everybody else is kind of just along for the ride. One of those folks who's along for the ride, and quite frankly, a little bit sick of it, is Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard. Let's listen to his thoughts on the Big Ten and the SEC and all the power they have.
It's frustrating because collectively the four conferences created the CSC, and we spent a lot of money. The four commissioners spent a lot of money creating the CSC. And so then to have two of the conferences not want to adhere to it, is perplexing to me. Because then it's like, well, why did we spend the money? If you didn't want rules, then why did you create this entity? That's what's frustrating to me. The same people that say they want rules only want rules if they don't apply to them. I mean, I said it 3 years ago. Yeah. Let them break away. I would turn it around and say we should break away from them. Let them go. You know, but they have to go in all their sports and see how fun it is to play baseball and softball and track when it's just the 20 of you. You know, and that's what I think we should do. But I'm one person, and, you know, that's probably a little more draconian. But that's how I feel about it. Like, let's quit talking about it. Quit threatening. Go do it. But if you're going to do it, you don't get to just do it in football and then keep all your other sports with us. No, take them all. See how fun it is.
So, look, his last point, it's kind of refreshing to hear somebody who's not from the Big Ten and the SEC speak like that. In the same breath, it's easy to speak like that when you're the athletic director at Iowa State because you're never getting invited. You are never going to be the apple of the eye of the Big Ten or the SEC. So when they expand again, if they expand again, you're not a target. The big issue with his comments is, and what this is really coming to, is the CSE, the College Sports Commission, and their ability to have some sort of regulation on rules. I do think it's comedy that he thinks that only the Big Ten and the SEC are ignoring these rules. He currently occupies space in a conference that has Texas Tech, which is probably the preeminent spender in the NIL era. He's also putting the ACC in the same boat as him, and in the ACC is Miami, which is one of the biggest spenders in this. And they're not following the rules either. In fact, Miami tampered with Darian Mensah while he was at Duke. So he's casting slings and arrows at the two power conferences without having any sort of self-awareness of the conference he's in and the people that he's trying to say we're in the same company with, because they're doing the same things. So in the end, I'm kind of with him on, hey, it's not sustainable for us to be in this the way that you guys are. And I'm kind of cool with the guy finally saying, hey, maybe we ought to split away from them. But at the same time, it's complete double talk when you lump yourself in with conferences that have two of the biggest teams benefiting from this process.
I also hope he's not saying, I hope he's just saying this as an expression of his frustration with how things are going and doing some posturing. Because when you get into a room and you say kind of those, when you have those kinds of conversation, I think back to Ryan Day a couple of weeks ago when he was on with us and how he talked about having conversations in the Big Ten individually in individual silos. And when you get into those kind of rooms and you have statements like that, it doesn't push forward conversation. You just kind of make it contentious because you think Tony Petitti's going to sit back and be like, you know, you might have a point. Like, you say bleep me, I say bleep you too. Feels like how those conversations go when it gets contentious like that. But I certainly understand Pollard's frustration. It just feels like when you're having, hopefully they get together at some point, all of them, and have meaningful conversations. ADs, decision makers from the Big 12, from the SEC, maybe the SEC and the Big 10 are shutting enough people out to where he has to have this kind of a outburst publicly. Because he just feels like we're not being heard. But I would hope for the betterment of college athletics, and that includes the Olympic sports, they're getting together in rooms and having meaningful conversation, not stuff like this. Because this just feels like bickering.
I understand his frustration because the other two are leading everything. And he also talks about we spend a lot of money in this, more wasteful money. Like, what are we doing? Like, don't ever ask me for another dime as a fan. When you continue to admit that you're wasting money or blatantly putting it out there and throwing it in everyone's face that you're spending all this money, I would just tell him careful what he wishes for, because if the Big Ten and SEC do split off and they go do their own thing, I'm guessing your piece of the pie just got a lot smaller. Because their piece of the pie just got a lot bigger, because that's where people are going to throw the TV dollars for football, because that's where a majority of the good football programs reside right now. So just be careful, because you may get your own little conferences, your own little title game and tournament, and maybe you'll even win at Iowa State, but will anyone give a damn?
Not people outside of Ames. No. No, I picked up on that too, Bake. That notion of we spent a lot of money on all this stuff, and it's like, how much? It's all fun coupons, isn't it? None of it matters. It's not my money.
Their money, yeah. What do they care?
It's just like Terranea, all this stuff. Like, it's all just fun coupons. It doesn't matter.
It's kind of crazy too.
Gross.
That these universities with state on the name can just go spend public money however they want.
Yeah. In perpetuity, apparently. Get Jake's take on all of this in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival. That man is Jake Trotter.
Indeed it is, and he joins on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So, you are a senior national college football reporter at ESPN. Were you made aware, or maybe you weren't, that the Big Ten was conducting their media meetings where they were, when they were?
Yeah, I think I knew probably a couple months ago. I mean, they have been, you know, they've done this every year. Unlike the SEC, they just don't do media.
Right.
They've never done media before. So they meet, but it's, I don't want to say it's clandestine. It's just not public. And the SEC, conversely, you know, they are in the news because they have people talking, and, you know, they smartly make it, you know, an advertising opportunity. So this I think this is in part a response to that by the Big Ten. So I knew that it was going to be potentially different than what it had been before, even last year. And that's why we have people out there covering it, because we knew that people were going to talk, including the commissioner of the league.
Yeah. So the reason I asked, and you'd laid it out perfectly, 100% correct. Yes, the SEC is going to have theirs in 2 weeks. It'll be in Destin at the Sandestin Resort. They invite the entire Southern media to it. And as you know, Jake, the entire Southern media will show up. They'll all be there. Paul will be there doing his show and the rest of it. The Big Ten, which is a conference rooted in the Midwest. Now, I acknowledge they have four schools on the West Coast now, chose to do theirs at the Terranea Resort, which is a 5-star resort on the coast in Southern California. How does that land for you?
It's like last year, you know, having your Big Ten media days in Las Vegas. It was pretty much what you would expect. It was a paltry attendance by the media, because it's hard to get to Vegas for, you know, people who cover Penn State and State College, or, you know, Maryland, or, you know, anybody, essentially, really anybody. I mean, even the California, the West Coast schools, it's not super close to Vegas unless you're like in LA. So, yeah, they don't do that to make it convenient for the media. I think they do it because of what you laid out. It's a nice place to hang out for everybody for the weekend, for the week. Yeah. That's kind of what the thinking is. And you would probably know better than I. Like, did they publicize it with, you know, any of the beat reporters that there was going to be, you know, this opportunity to talk to Petiti, among others?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I knew about it, but I don't think most people knew that, you know, like Wade, for example, was going to talk about steadying the ship at Michigan and stuff like that.
No, I don't think so. I think it was like, and I think in a way it's set up to be pretty, it's kind of like NFL owners meetings is kind of the way they're doing it. Cause that's, you know, those are at posh 5-star resorts and, in spectacular locations. And that's the same thing here. And it's just a tough one. And to, you know, you think about the constituency of people that listening to this show, the people that, and you kind of hang in this area in terms of the teams that you talk about, just at Penn State, you do Michigan, you do Ohio State, Notre Dame, these type of places. It's just a tough pill to swallow when you cry poor on everything and then you behave this way outwardly. It's a tough pill for people to swallow.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of that going on. And by the way, did I say Wade? I meant to say Ward.
Ward Manuel, yeah.
Yeah, Ward. Yeah, I mean, it's strange. I mean, I don't understand some of the thinking behind it. Like, if it were me and I was trying to get, you know, my league written about as much as possible, I would try to make it as accessible as possible for people that cover the league. And that's just not at, you know, plush resorts in Southern California. And it's not at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. It's just really hard, you know, given some of the budget constraints that everybody's dealing with, to make it to some of those places. So, I mean, like, you know, we'll be there, but, you know, Radio Row is not going to be extensive in Las Vegas for Big Ten Media Days.
No. No, it's not. So the execution, I think we can say you and I would both agree, is a borderline fail in terms of what they're trying to do to get their messaging out in the best way possible. How about the actual message itself? I was actually optimistic a little bit that Ryan said yesterday that it's debatable whether a 24 team is best for Ohio State. You can go back and forth on that, but certainly it's best for the conference and great for college football in general. I don't know that I agree with him on the last part of it. I certainly at least agree with him on the first part that it's debatable. It's best for Ohio State. Ohio State's going to come out of this unaffected. They're going to make this thing every single year.
It's not about Ohio State.
It's not about them at all.
No matter what.
So the question is, should Ohio State care about the seventh best team in the Big Ten?
No, I don't think they should care either way. But so this is basically the argument, correct me if I'm wrong, that Petitti was making. And like, they've been making this kind of behind the scenes for really like a year and a half. I mean, I started hearing about 24 teams. I feel like, yeah, maybe a year ago, maybe it was a year ago I started hearing about it. But
yeah,
essentially the argument has been, an argument was by Petitti, who really hasn't talked about it directly. He's kind of talked about it through other channels and coaches and administrators in the league. But essentially, you know, we should want more teams in the postseason. And he said, I don't understand why this is not more popular in college football. We never had to make this case in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. But I mean, 24, that's a lot of teams that are just going to have no shot to win the national championship.
It's a lot of bad TV shows. And that's what this is really all about, right? It's how do we create more TV shows for our partners so that this playoff can be opened up beyond ESPN and we can make more money, because we have to find money because none of us are going to take a pay cut. That's my read on it.
That's what this is about.
That's exactly what it's about.
It's not about, they will give you other reasons, but there's really no other reason. This is just about generating more revenue. And so, more playoff games equals more revenue. Not that we think it's better for the sport, because that thinking has gone out the window decades ago. You know, UCLA would not be in the Big Ten if we were thinking about what was best, you know, for the sport and for student athletes, et cetera. This is about everybody keeping the contracts that they have and making, you know, more money than they already do, especially now since they have to, you know, cut a pie, slice of the pie for the players. The one thing I did like is he said plan B is 12,
yeah,
not 16. So let's just keep it at 12.
Fine.
Like, fine. Hopefully that's what ends up happening. Because the other thing I don't like is the constantly moving the goalpost in the postseason. So 1 year it's going to be 4, then 8, then 16, 24, back to 16. Can we just have like some continuity in college football, like for like at least 5 years before we try to change it again? Cause that's what it feels like. It's just, everything is going to change so rapidly, so frequently, that we're going to lose, you know, any semblance of continuity, which I think you need for the credibility of the game. Right.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Give me 7 years of a 12 team playoff so I can get used to it. Get the calendar fixed.
Or, you know what? Go to
solve the things that you can solve.
Keep it there. Yeah.
Fine.
Keep
it, I guess. I don't want 24, but whatever. No. Pick a path and stick with it. We put polls up all the time, Jake. There's not a single one of our polls that we put up. And again, it's just a Columbus, Ohio, and we're viewing everything through a scarlet and gray lens. But there's not a single poll we've put up that has anybody saying 24 is the best. That's always the fourth option. Nobody wants it around here. And I suppose I question, like, I'm very curious, and you've been to some of these outposts, and there's some comments from the Iowa State athletic director about maybe we should, you know, break away from the Big Ten and the SEC, let them do their own thing, that type of thing.
Okay.
You've been to Ames. Does that change the end of their season if they're the 20 seed in a 2014 playoff?
I don't sense there's like a great clamor for 24, even from the people that would theoretically benefit from it. Do you?
No. In fact, I could argue, one of the things he's arguing is, oh, well, and this is the type of game he's talking about. Now all of a sudden, Iowa, Minnesota is going to matter more.
Great.
Buddy, like they play for a bronze pig. It's mattered for 100 years, no matter what those records are. I don't think being the 20 seed versus being the 19 seed is going to change their give a damn for that game.
Correct. And the other part of it is by going to 12 and making conference championships meaningful, although we've devalued those now too, there are a lot of games that matter from the perspective of the playoff that didn't before.
Yes.
Especially in the non-Big Ten, non-SEC conferences. And those conferences are already getting the at-large berths anyway. So they've got their own meaningful games. But if you win the Big 12, you get in. Like, that makes Iowa State versus Kansas State big, if the teams are in the conference title race. So, again, and here's my other issue, too. Like, as soon as it goes to 24, guess what's going to happen, Bo? Then we're going to hear 30. Then we're going to 32. Yeah. Then we're going to, like, 60. Yeah. I mean, nobody was clamoring for the NCAA tournament to get expanded from 64. What is it now? 76? Can't even remember.
Went from 64 to 68 to 76. Nobody wanted any of it.
Nobody wants any of it. It's like we're taking things that work and we're breaking them because of what? More money.
Got to find money somewhere, buddy. All right, pal. Well, I think we solved a lot of problems today.
You don't want to talk Cavs collapse last night?
I did that off the top. It was pretty brutal.
I don't think I've ever seen a basketball collapse like that before. I mean, that was unreal.
You knew it was coming, though, right? I could feel it. Even when they got to 13, I'm like, they're cooked.
Call a timeout. Like, James Harden off the floor. I mean, anything. They didn't do anything.
Nothing. No, just watched it. We'll see you, buddy.
Bye.
There he goes. Jake Trotter, senior college football reporter at ESPN on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Amazon Business.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, June 11th, and all email submissions must be in by June 1st. Enter today.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And a reminder, it is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your questions into the fellas at 971BFS. Also in the YouTube chat, we can take those there as well. Time now for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
NHL's free agency begins Wednesday, July 1st. Aaron Portsline's reporting that Boone Jenner fired his agent earlier in the week. Quote, The Athletic recently learned from multiple sources close to Jenner that he's fired his longtime agent, Joe Resnick, of Top Shelf Sports Management, after the better part of two decades together. Jenner is now repped by agent Pat Morris of Newport Sports Management. An interesting move to make only 6 weeks before he can hit free agency. He joins fellow Jackets Sean Monahan and Eric Goodbranson in Morris's portfolio. End quote. Thing or not a thing?
Well, I was going to say not a thing until the last sentence, and that leads me to believe potentially there's, it feels like maybe he'll come back. Is that the way that I would read that, or do you read anything into that, Bake? You're far more closely tied to this than I am.
No, I don't read anything into that other than he's friends with those guys, and they talk about their agents, and maybe this agent is doing some things that Boone likes more than his other agent, or maybe Boone just figures it's time to switch things up here. He's been with this guy for a while, and he's heading into a big offseason. I don't think this is a thing at all, and I feel like the bigger piece of Porty's story here was that maybe possibly looks like Boone Jenner is on his way out of Columbus. And I've kind of felt that that's the way it was going to go. I think this is going to be very similar to how Nick Foligno left, where the front office views him as something less than what the player views that he is, and he thinks he can go somewhere else and be more. The greatest run you ever had in franchise history, Boone Jenner was playing on the fourth line. This year, when you were playing your best hockey, he was your fourth line center. So if Boone Jenner wants to come back and be the Columbus Blue Jackets fourth line center and take fourth line center money, maybe they can get a deal done. I'm guessing Boone feels he's got more in the tank than that. And that's why I think and have thought all along that this was going to be a parting of ways for these two.
I mean, he was a 30 goal scorer 10 years ago. I mean, he played 67 games last year. I mean, he's a captain. He's a franchise, one of those franchise legends. Certainly people are always going to know, and that's going to be an immortality to that. But yeah, it does feel like it's run its course here a little bit.
Over the weekend, the team of Captain Mike King, Brad Adam, Lee Albardi, Alex Stanley, and former number one overall pick Ben Simmons won Sport Fishing Championship's Blue Marlin Open down in the Bahamas. Simmons is a part owner of the South Florida Sails, and according to the Sport Fishing Championships website, quote, across 3 days of competition in Walker's Cay, the Sails stacked up 2,900 points behind six Blue Marlin releases. The 29-year-old Simmons last played in the NBA in 2025 with the LA Clippers, but he grew up a fishing enthusiast in Australia.
I missed the beginning. This is the Ben Simmons.
Yeah, former number one overall pick.
I'll be damned.
The next Magic Johnson, Ben Simmons.
Simmons, oh my God. And he's only 29?
Yep.
I'm sorry. Continue, Reese.
We bought the Sails in 2025. He told ESPN, quote, I've always believed that investing in what you love means you have a responsibility to help move it forward. Sports fishing has given me incredible experiences, and SFC is creating a platform that treats offshore fishing like the elite sport it is, end quote. Thing or not a thing.
Just don't think about it. What do you think Ben Simmons' career earnings are?
$100 million.
I was going to say more than that, probably like $150.
Can I interest you in $203 million?
Damn.
You can buy a lot of sports fishing outfits for $203 million. Going to always be one of the more puzzling players. He's actually... There was a year early in his career where, I mean, it was all backwards from the beginning. Went to LSU, didn't make the playoff. The 6'9 point guard thing, all the Magic Johnson stuff was there. There was a playoff series when he was with Philly that broke him. Because they actually had a pretty good year at one point. And in one of those seasons, and him and Embiid were healthy, and he was... It kind of felt like it was happening. And then the reality was he just couldn't make shots. So you didn't have to guard him, and that led to it. But the idea that he's just 29 years old is remarkable to me. He is not a bust, by the way. He made three All-Star teams. Ben Simmons did. He made three All-Star teams, which is, I don't know that people would have had that. He was Rookie of the Year his first year. He averaged 15, 8, and 8. Second year, he's an All-Star. He averages 17, 7, and 9. Fourth in the Defensive Player of the Year his fourth year. He's second in Defensive Player of the Year in his fourth year in the league. Then he gets a back injury with a holdout, and it's just over. It's just completely over at that point. But he was actually a pretty decent player at the early part of his career. I don't know if people will remember that, but he was.
This is not a thing to me for two reasons. One, I've never even heard of this Sport Fishing Championship. And the other is Ben Simmons. Like, nothing Ben Simmons does. moves the needle for me, and it probably hasn't in a long time, and that's probably not fair, Bo, and maybe injuries derailed him a little bit in this, and he was a big deal way back when, but it's been a long time since Ben Simmons really mattered.
Yeah.
After being dumped by the Saudis, Liv Golf.
You got to do the last one, Reese. I'm sorry.
All right, appropriate on
intervened.
First Friday.
Your last one, we got to do. We got to pay homage.
Schlitz beer is about to be brewed for the last time. The Wisconsin Brewing Company, with permission from Schlitz's owner, Pabst, announced it'll brew a final 80-barrel batch Saturday, May 23rd. The batch will be brewed using Schlitz's specifications dating back to 1948. The company was founded in 1849 in Milwaukee before later expanding, and at one time it was America's largest brewer. Pabst Brewing Company stopped brewing Schlitz months ago. The last batch is going to be available for pre-order May 23rd on Wisconsin Brewing Company's website. You'll be available to purchase it, or I guess pick up your pre-orders, on June 27th. Thing or not a thing?
This is a massive thing. I worked for a beer distributor 2 years in college. And this was one of the... We were primarily Anheuser-Busch, but it was rural Montana, so we had a lot of different beers that we would distribute, and Schlitz was one of them. They were in that same kind of category as, like, Schmitz. You guys probably don't even remember these beers. There's, like, Hams, Schmitz, Schlitz, Rainier,
is Hams Cincinnati?
I don't know. I just remember seeing the carton of them, like the 12-pack box that they were in. And I remember Schlitz, absolutely. And didn't they have a great ad about maybe 10, 15 years ago with Will Ferrell? Wasn't that his ad where he's cracking the beer? I think that's a Schlitz ad. Reflog does it all the time. He uses it. I think there's a Will Ferrell ad with Schlitz beer. But this is a sad day, man. This is a sad day. I used to love these kind of, and these guys are at one point a massive, massive beer, but yeah, it's sad. That's a sad one. I like these little breweries.
I feel like I always used to get Schlitz and Blatz confused. We had a buddy that would drink Blatz all the time and talk about drinking Blatz back in the day. I don't even remember if by the time I turned 21 here, you could get Schlitz. I don't think I've ever had one. I will say this. This kind of makes me, this Saturday, want to get on the website and try to order some of this.
Yeah. It was Old Milwaukee was the Will Ferrell.
Old Milwaukee.
We used to call it Old Mud. Like that was one that was out there too. But there were so many of those great ones. And when I go home in the summer, like and you guys probably have no point of reference on this, but there was like Rainier beer and Olympia.
I don't know that one.
Beer. They're both were really, really cool ones. And they're ones that went away and are now kind of back a little bit, just for a little bit of the nostalgia play. Who remembers a Löwenbräu? Do you remember a Löwenbräu?
Oh, I've had Löwenbräus before. Those weren't bad. A good German beer.
Good. That's very good. Yeah, there were so many cool ones back.
They were
in the
like
day.
A light blue color, correct?
They were beautiful branding with a prancing lion on the label. Very, very cool. We'll do a little Hey Guys coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Spring cleaning isn't...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The 50th anniversary of the Memorial Tournament will kick off 2 weeks from tomorrow at Muirfield Village. This morning, Rory McIlroy, PGA Championship winner Aaron Rise, Xander Schauffele, and Jordan Spieth made it official, joining the 70-golfer field June 1st up in Dublin. In basketball last night, the Knicks beat the Cavs 115-104 in overtime in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Cleveland blew a 22-point fourth-quarter lead, one of the biggest in NBA postseason history. New York's going to host Game 2 tomorrow night at 8. Game 2 in the West is tonight at 8:30. Oklahoma City will host San Antonio, down one game to none. In baseball today, the Clippers and Louisville Bats will resume Tuesday's runout at 12:05 over at Huntington Park. The game was tied at 3 in the eighth. Both teams will play their regularly scheduled game later in the afternoon. And the NFL owners are meeting this week in Orlando. Earlier today, they approved expanding the international series from 8 games in 2026 to at least 10 international games in 2027. The Browns won't go overseas in 26, and you'll be able to hear every Cleveland football game right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, we'll get to your hey guys in just a second. I went down a rabbit hole in my own mind on the Schlitz thing, and I decided to write down off the top of my head every beer that we distributed at the beer distributor I worked with out of Conrad, Montana, my 2 years in college. So we were Anheuser-Busch predominantly, but it was smaller. So we also had Miller products and then some independents. And the big competitor was Coors and Coors Light, which is a shame because those were my guys, was Coors and Coors Light. But we did have some of the Miller products, which so here was, this was just off the top of my head. I don't even know how many of these still exist and how many of these are just variations of the same beer, just with different labeling. These are all the ones I wrote down. Old Milwaukee, Schlitz, Schmitz, Hams, PBR, Henry Weinhart's, High Life, Miller Genuine Draft, Miller Red, Miller Light, Bud Light, Mick Light, Michelob, Mick Ultra, Budweiser, Bud Ice, Red Dog, Ice House, Busch, Busch Light, Natural Ice, Natty Light. That's the full, that's every, and there's probably some I'm forgetting, but that's the, we had every one of those. How inefficient is that from a business? Like, to have
who's
that buying
Natural Ice in Montana?
Natty Light was just cheaper. So the number one seller was always Busch and Busch Light. That was the one that we sold the most of. Bud Light and then Busch and Busch Light were the two that we sold the most of. And then Natty Light was just another version of that. It was just
a then there's, you know, Natty Ice, though, but that's like a step above.
I don't know what
that's if you're trying to have a night.
Is there a slightly more alcohol?
Yes.
Do they still make Bud Ice and Natty Ice?
Not that I know of.
So Bud Ice used to have the penguin on the bottle cap.
You're exactly right.
And we used to have some time with that. When I was 18, 19, my cousin in Hilliard had an apartment right across from a drive-thru that's still there. And they used to sell cases of Bud Ice for $11.99. And boy, did we have some times with that. And then the other one, Ice House.
Ice House.
That was a favorite back in the day. That was pretty good beer.
I think it was just Budweiser.
Well, I like Budweiser, so.
Yeah, that was just what it was. It was kind of all the same. I don't even know how many of those still exist. But I remember, like, Michelob used to be, like, the highest end of it, and then Michelob Light. This was before Mick Ultra came into play. Mick Ultra hadn't annihilated the rest of Michelob at that point. But, yeah, a lot of good ones there.
And MGD, then Miller Light came along and ruined that, I think. And Miller Genuine Draft used to be
Miller Genuine
big-time beer.
Yeah, so there was, in the old days, if memory serves, it was Miller High Life, and then Miller Light came in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, and just took off. That's the taste great, less filling, all of that. And then Miller Red was kind of their answer to that.
I'd never heard Miller Red.
Yeah, Miller Red, and then MGD, and then High Life. Somehow High Life, which was my dad's favorite his whole life, and now not as much. And my dad is a have a beer every day guy. I've never seen him drunk in my life. I've never seen him drunk in private or drunk in public, but I've seen him have a beer every day of his life the entire time I've known him. Sometimes two, never three.
So what's he drink now?
PBR.
Okay.
What was your best seller? Do you remember?
Busch Light.
Okay.
We sold
absolute best. Like,
oh,
okay.
Every convenience store, you could do a whole end cap of Busch Light that we would stack up in
head
various
for the mountains.
Designs. Head for the mountains of Busch. Yep. That's it. Busch Light. Bud Light was right there, too. Those were the two that were the biggest. But we did a lot of groceries. Like the bars, it was Bud Light, but the grocery stores was Busch Light. The convenience stores was Busch Light. They'd crush that. Absolutely crush it. And then one of them, it might have been, I can't remember. It was either Schmitz. I think it was Schmitz. In hunting season would have like these fish and like deer packaging.
Well, that's
and
Bush,
that Bush Light
now.
Does that too.
But does Bush do that
they
now?
Do
Bush Light do that
camo
now?
Cans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That type of stuff. Like those always took off in hunting season in the fall.
They also do, Bush Light does like four different, at least they did last year, 2 years ago, like four different fish. And like three of them were easy to get. The fourth one was hard to find around here. So people were like on a mission to collect them all.
Yeah. Three's weighing in. Michelob Golden Draft Light in Minnesota was king. My grandpa from Florida would come visit and be in heaven. Michelob was, that's the big time there. I remember in college, it was like, yeah, we were like working at a golf course. Yeah, we can afford Michelob now. We can afford Michelob. $7 for a six pack. We could actually afford it. That was a, I don't even know if like Michelob and Michelob Golden still exist.
I had a Mich Ultra over the weekend at Sonic Temple because the options were Michelob Ultra, Bud Light, Budweiser. And I'm not a Bud Light drinker. And all I wanted was, I was fiending for a Miller Lite so bad.
Yeah.
Cause they're just not good beers.
Well, they're just beer. They just traditionally beer flavored beer. The first time I remember something tasting different was Fat Tire. When I was like in college, it was like, oh, this is a little different. And then there was a brewery in Missoula that was just starting that was called, I want to say it was Big Sky Brewing, and they did Moose Drool. And it was kind of their version.
Great name for a beer.
Which is a great name, great logo too. Their version of it was, Fat Tire was Moose Drool. And those started to take off a little bit. That's 25 years ago. Now, you know, there's all sorts of craft stuff out there.
Can we like go grab a six pack right now
makes
and
you
each
want
of us
to.
Have a beer?
Makes you want to, doesn't it?
Like I want a Bud Ice or an Ice House right now.
You do?
Be pretty good. Be pretty good if we could do it.
You're a tall boy at 311.
That's exactly right. All right, time for a little hey, guys. Hit it, fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag hey guys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Great food, award-winning drinks, and something for everyone in the family. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
All right, so we're getting a bunch on the YouTube chat, so thanks to everybody for chiming in. Also at 971BFS. I'll start with this one I just saw from Husky. Hey guys, if you could only have one bourbon for the rest of your life, what would it be?
A Cruel Life, that's what that is.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. I guess I'll just go the nostalgia play here, and I love High Bank's version of bourbon that they've got going right now is spectacular and all of that. The reason I got into bourbon was Blanton's. That's the reason I got into it. I was a Johnny Walker Black on the rocks guy for a long time, and a buddy of mine in the South said, why don't you try this? And this is 20 years ago, and this that he had was Blanton's, and I looked at the bottle, and I looked at the little horse on the head, and I thought, that looks pretty cool. And then I tried it, and I went, yeah, that hits. That works. So I guess I would go back to the original. My favorite one is that I've had and have owned through the years. Elmer T. Lee has always been a favorite of mine through the years. And there's some things in life that are worth it when you get your hands on it. And Pappy Van Winkle 20-year bourbon is probably about as good as you can get, but I'm not going to spend $3,000 a bottle for it. So those would be some of the ones that are in the mix.
So there's so many good ones out there, and Bo, I've got a pretty good collection right now on the top of my fridge, but I would have to say if I can only do one the rest of my life of the ones I've had, I'm going Eagle Rare.
That's your baby. By the way, Threes has had Moose Drool. He's had it. And this is also, we have a hey guys from a linebacker coach at Ohio State. Sports beer or post yard work beer? Which one is better?
Post yard work beer. Because you've accomplished something. You've won.
Go ahead, Bake. Weigh in.
I don't love yard work. That's one of the reasons I live in a condo. Shame. And I
take yard out of it.
It does nothing
post work beer.
Post-mo beer?
We used to play basketball all the time and then go crush beers or softball and beers. Mm-hmm. So I'm going the sports beer.
It's because you haven't worked a lot of hard days like I did on the Ponderosa. This has been an easy, really smooth, no real heavy lifting.
I've been a brick and block mason my whole life. That's what I did growing up. Come on now.
Those beers had to taste pretty damn good. Day laying brick and block, that has to taste pretty good.
They just don't mean as much to me, I guess. I don't have as many fond memories as I do with the sports
fair. I got you. I think any summer work cold beer at the end of the day is pretty damn undefeated. I think that's the best beer. And in that beer, what I want is a beer-flavored beer. That's what I want. I don't want something that I need a spoon to eat. I don't want anything like that. I want a light beer, American Pilsner beer. That's what I want. And those are undefeated after hard, long days of work. Like a post-harvest August beer. Jeez, that hits nice. Or my God, I was just telling this to NBC the other day. I spent a whole summer just picking rock. I just drove around in a tractor with a front-end loader, loaded it with rock, and then drove it to rock piles all summer. I spent another entire summer just fixing fence. I just drove around on a four-wheeler and fixed fence for an entire summer. That's all I did. And I'll tell you what, after those days, now, Uncle Kel was a great man, and every once in a while, he'd give you a little high life when you're 16 years old. Who gets hurt?
I will say this. I think my favorite beer is airport beer because of what's coming usually. That means you're on vacation or going somewhere, so I love airport
beach
beer.
Beach beer's good. The beach beer's good, too.
Can we send a hey, guys, back to the linebacker coach?
Sure. Yeah, he's and listening.
And say, hey, guys, who are you recruiting today? Who are we visiting?
Can he just have a life? It's May. Can he just enjoy his day?
What does he think about the situational beer? Or is he a... After
we'll get his answer. Okay. I'll get his answer in the break. Sports beer, work beer. We'll get his answer in the break. We'll continue with your Hey Guys questions. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ed is headed to the memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage?
Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
Thewaterworks.com.
The best memorial coverage. The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered showers and storms on and off throughout the day today, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy with temperatures getting into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, we turn mostly cloudy overnight and breezy with lows in the upper 40s. And then Thursday is my pick of the week with mostly sunny skies, breezy winds, and highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan.
Find us on YouTube.
Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe.
This is Bishop and Friends.
And join us for the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. It's the 5K run, 1 mile walk, happening Saturday, June 20th at Honor Bind. Some of your favorite fan personalities will be there. Brother Bone will be there. Nephew Tyvus, Mann, Timmy, Reese, they'll all be there. Adam King will be there. Nicole Sheeran will be there. Every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, awesome gifts from Logan Services. The Fan 5K is presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. Sign up today at 971therace.com. I did get the answer from Threes. His favorite, this is perfect how he worded this. Post-yard work, full of grass clippings, talking trash to the work, taking domain over the land with a frosted beer victory. It's a great one.
It's awesome how he put it.
Beer. Tyler on social said, so your favorite scene in Shawshank was the bucket of suds after tarring the roof. And I responded, yes, that's one of them. Also, any scene not involving the sisters is fine. I'll do all of those. I'm for all of those. Go ahead, Reese.
We'll head back to the YouTube chat. With this weekend being Memorial Day weekend, Phil asks, hey, guys, fiance and I are headed up to Chicago. Got any recommendations for the weekend? He says he's a big steakhouse guy, but bars are also welcome.
God almighty, man. Chicago.
I think he's going to Wrigley for a game.
Okay, well then he'll be great. I apologies Fish and Mike and AR and everybody that has Chicago roots at the station, but I think Chicago is the most unnavigable city in America. So that I don't mean to rain on your parade, but I've never been there where the traffic isn't a disaster. You can't get anywhere in any sort of time. If you're going to Wrigleyville, I've only been there once. You can throw a stone down almost any block in Chicago and have a great meal. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask for this. Like when I went there last summer, I'm texting Fish and I'm texting Mike, like, give me something, a place to eat with the kids, for the families. And they gave us some great ones. We did, I mean, it's a kind of a fast casual, but they're like Portillo's, which is a Chicago staple. And then Mike put me on to Barnaby's, which was a great pizza joint that we did in the northern suburbs. But for steak, I mean, just go to Michigan Avenue. There's a probably throw a stone and hit six great steak places there. If the weather's great, Wrigley's awesome. I watched the Dodgers play there. The only reason I know the Cubs won is I was on the same train as Ronnie Woo Woo, and he just kept saying, Cubs woo, Cubs woo, Cubs woo. That's the only reason I could tell you who won or who lost the game. I have no recollection of how it happened. And it wasn't because we were bombed. We were playing mound ball in the outfield in the bleachers, sucking down old styles, and I don't even know I couldn't tell you anything that happened in the baseball game I went to there.
I'm not the right person for this either, because I haven't spent a lot of time in Chicago. Most of my time in Chicago was through the airport or working, and we didn't have a lot of time. So I think the one thing, though, if I went to Chicago, I would make sure I went to a Chicago place for pizza. Like a Lou Malnati's, or, you know, one of those places that's just there, and make sure I had some of that.
The original Uno's, I've eaten there. It's downtown. That's a really cool experience. It's very, very good. JP, the great Joshua Perry, listening and saying maple and ash, if you want to, that on a steakhouse front, it's elite. Maple and ash. So hopefully that pointed you in the right direction on that. Thank you, JP.
Back to the YouTube chat. Scotty asks, hey guys, in the heavy rain, are you a sit in your car and wait it out guy, pack an umbrella type of guy, or throw up the hoodie and sprint to the door?
It's all about the time and place and where I got to get. So I will wait it out till the last minute, and then I'm throw something over my head and run. I find that if I'm trying to get an umbrella out, I almost get just as wet doing that as I do just making the run from where I'm parking to where I'm trying to go. So I would probably be the run guy. I'd be the wait it out. My protocol would be wait it out, judge proximity, the distance between where I am and where I'm going. Try to do the mental math of how wet am I going to get in these amount of steps, and then be able to kind of sort that out. And by the way, Three's weighing in saying, walk through the rain, be a man. Listen, buddy, I what hair I have left is coiffed. Like, I got it. If I get this thing soaking wet, I'm not going to be camera ready in any way, shape, or form.
So I'm definitely not an umbrella guy, and unless for some reason I'm going somewhere like a wedding, a funeral, or something where I have to be dressed nice, mm-hmm. That's the only time I'm even worrying about it and maybe throwing something over my head. Usually, let's just go. It is what it is. Like, chances are I'm not so far away that I'm going to get soaked where I can't handle it, so just get out and go.
I'm not against using an umbrella. Usually it's a raincoat, but you just trust the 10 weather impact forecast. If you're going to sit in your car, you can wait it out. But if it's going to keep raining on you, I think you're just putting the coat on and sprinting.
There is not one. There are a few things in life than when you have youth sports and you're in the middle of a rain delay, not a lightning delay, but a rain delay, or a lightning delay that turns into a rain delay. Bob and I experienced this Saturday in Canton when our kids were playing in the lacrosse tournament up there. And you're sitting in the car, and you pull up the phone, and you look at the live radar, and you just see, like, as much green as the Slimer in Ghostbusters. And you just go, okay, I guess where we're at here is we're just going to get really wet. Mm-hmm. That's just where we're at. And then you just got to resign to go do it and take it on, and away you go.
I got this. So I saw this earlier in the week, and actually Sonic Temple had one similarly. Arizona Diamondbacks say you and a friend have 9 innings to complete a 128-ounce nacho bucket at a Diamondbacks game.
120 ounces?
It is a plastic bucket, 128 ounces. filled with tortilla chips, looks like shredded beef, beans, all the fixins. There was something, again, similar at Sonic Temple, and by the time I saw a buddy of mine get to, I'd say, two-thirds of the way through, it was just mush. Just cheesy mush at that point. But Jay asks, because he heard T-Bone and Tyvus talking about it, excluding T-Bone, who from the station's your partner? Because, again, this challenge by the Diamondbacks says you and a friend have 9 innings.
Well, I mean, I feel like, number one, I feel like Bob could probably... If you just, all you'd have to do to Bob is just say you can't do it. Just say, just give him the 128
Here's a
ounces.
Beer, you can't do this.
Yeah, just say, give him the 120 ounces of chips and mush and all of that, and then just go, yeah, you can't eat this. And I feel like he could eat it on his own. I also have a feeling Mike would be sneaky good at this.
So Bob is a great call on this one, I think, for both reasons. One, he's a big man.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's put down a lot of food in his life, especially back when he was playing and trying to stay big and everything. And the stubbornness of, you can't do this. Well, watch me.
Watch me.
Yeah. Jacob Reimer talks all the time about how much he loves nachos and eats nachos all the time. So I'm going to go with Reimer here.
Yeah. What Reimer, is your... If you're go ahead, Reese.
I was going to say, Reimer's my pick because he's the nacho enthusiast. This is painful.
How does he, like, what's his go-to? Do we know? Do we have, like, what is his go-to nacho?
I don't know. I've just heard he loves nachos and eats them all the time.
So, okay.
But he doesn't like cheese.
He doesn't like cheese.
He eats cheese on nachos, but he doesn't like cheese.
I haven't heard that.
Okay. I get a lot of questions. What is your ideal nachos order?
I could do nachos, cheese, shredded chicken. And that's probably it. I'm good with that. Maybe jalapenos.
You gonna have some salsa there or no?
On the side.
On the side. So you're dipping?
Yeah, I don't need it running off. I don't need more things running off it than already.
Yeah, I'm a pretty plain eater. Like, I don't love a lot of things, and a lot of it's texture based. So just give me a bunch of meat and cheese and I'm good.
Yeah, I actually think, like, just plain nachos sometimes are pretty good. Just like a chip and cheese and salsa. Like, that wins for me a lot, too, sometimes. And, that would certainly... Yeah.
And no, the cheese, I think shredded or grated, not the cheese sauce. I'll dip that if I want to.
Yeah, I think...
Agree.
I think you hit on a big point there, Reese, in terms of this bucket or whatever you're doing with this, is you have to have... The chip has to continue to have its constitutional shape. You don't want the mush that happens at the end. We could continue with the hey guys. We'll also get into Tony Petitti's thoughts on the 2014 playoff per ESPN's Pete Thamel. That's in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. We will continue with the hey guys. I'm a little fatigued on the Pete Thamel, the 2014er Petitti. We got into that a little bit anyway, so we can take a break. And we did all the beer stuff, so we can live a little. By the way, Quiz letting me know his pop. That's the other thing too. Like, everybody's got a, like, I don't know if your guys' parents are this, but my dad was a High Life guy and he had it regularly. Quiz, I never heard of this one. His dad was Red, White, and Blue. I never heard of that beer. It's got a cool can, but I've never heard of it.
I never heard of that either.
No.
That, like, Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer?
Yeah.
Is that funny. Any good? I have never had it. Okay. I have no clue.
I think a lot of them were just variations of the same one, done at the same, you know, brewery, and that's kind of the way that it worked. I don't know if you did a blind taste test between, like, Busch Light, Bud Light, Mick Light, I'm not sure if you could tell a difference.
Yeah, so many of them are so similar. What is Rheingeist there? It's Cincy Light now, but it used to be their Cheetah. I feel like if you open one of those up and you set it next to a High Life, you can't tell what's the difference.
Really?
Yeah, you can't tell. Bush Light, Bud Light. Somebody can tell the difference between those two?
No, I don't think so. High Life has a very distinct taste to me of the mass market ones. Like that one, I can tell that immediately.
For sure.
But a lot of the rest of them I can't.
High Life also, I feel like, tastes different in a can to a bottle. You can tell the difference.
They used to have my Uncle Gerald, who drank only Olympia. He was a fascinating guy. He had, this is in the mid-80s, he had televisions in his combines and tractors so that he could watch soap operas while he, like, seeded and summer followed and did harvest. But so he always had, he always drank Olympia, and then he also had, always had Miller High Life ponies. Do you guys remember those?
The smaller bottles?
Yeah. The little guys.
I don't remember those with Miller High Life.
Some places in Columbus will serve those with a Bloody Mary.
Oh, perfect.
Comes like a little sidecar.
Yeah. Those things are great. They're like, I don't know, maybe 6-8 ounces, little High Life ponies. I don't know. I wonder if they still make them. I don't know.
My grandfather used to do that. There was a carryout, a drive-through right around the corner from his house, and they would keep 8-ounce Budweiser cans in there for him.
Oh.
And he would grab them and throw them in the freezer, and he was a big post-cut-and-grass beer guy.
It's funny how, like, now you could drink 16 of them, but I'm only drinking little beers. It's like the, what's the line in One Battle After Another where Benicio Del Toro goes, I've had a few small beers. It's a little bit like that.
I did get this from President Bush on Twitter.
Okay. Oh, the.
He does ask, hey guys, with the 2014 playoff coming, will the Ohio State-Michigan game eventually be moved off the last week of the season so players don't sit out the game? Sit out the game, I should say. Sorry.
He's saying, will they move the Ohio State-Michigan game because it'll be marginalized and people will be... I don't think that that will be the case in our lifetime. Now, I don't got a whole lot of life left. In the grand scheme of things, still a decent amount. But, like, I don't think we're going to get there where you got to move the Ohio State-Michigan game. I think that game's always going to matter a lot. You play it once a year at your place or theirs. It's endured so much, guys. Like, just think. I mean, it's 100-plus years of this. Like, I don't think that by doing something like this that it's going to minimize this game. And I do think it's one of those things that can endure. If there's ever a conversation that starts with, we have to move the Ohio State-Michigan game in order to keep the importance of it, then you're failing the sport. If that conversation ever takes place, then you've failed the sport.
But I thought, President Bush, we were ridiculed when we talked about this even being a possibility. There's no way this could ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
If an Ohio State coach did this, it would be the last game they ever coached at Ohio State. It's going to happen at some point. Now, I think the Ohio State-Michigan game, if it ever gets moved, it will not be moved for players sitting out of it. It will be moved because they don't want to play each other three times in a row. Now, that probably is going away because Big Ten championship game's going away. But if it was ever going to be moved, it was going to be moved because they didn't want these teams playing back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I dealt with this in the Florida State-Miami game, which is not the Ohio State-Michigan game. But there was a time when, like, the winner of that game won the national title in the 90s, or was certainly in the mix. And they moved it to Labor Day night. This is the infamous famous FSU Cowgirls game. This is Brent Musburger when he says however many red-blooded Americans just applied to Florida State. Like, it's that game was that Labor Day Monday night. They moved it. And that game was always played the first Saturday in October is when that game was played up until that point. And they moved it. And I'll never know if that changed it or if the two programs just kind of went their separate ways and weren't both great at the same time again, whatever. But that rivalry was never the same from that point on. So again, that's not this one, but that don't monkey with this stuff. Like, hopefully there are certain things that cannot be touched. And I hope that Ohio State Michigan game is one of them.
Sticking with the YouTube chat, Connor asks, hey guys, if you could add one single current Ohio professional athlete to join the show as a regular, who would you choose?
A current professional athlete
in the Buckeye State. Well, include Ohio State football players.
I'm trying to think who is the most fun professional athlete in our state.
I've got two right now. right away. And they're one from each of our baseball teams, Reese.
Oh, that's
Jose Ramirez and Ellie De La Cruz. Those would both be so fun. Now, there might be a little bit of a language barrier.
Saying, yeah, like, Jose doesn't speak English, man.
But those two would be so fun. Jose speaks a little. Come on.
Does Ellie speak any?
Yeah.
He does.
He's even tried to do his press conferences the past couple of years in English, so.
I mean, he's no longer a professional athlete, but it would be easy breezy. It would be Shelley time. Like, you could do, I could do 3 hours of Jody.
Yeah, I was thinking like Joe Thomas would be the same. I mean, be so easy. Just kind of wind up and what do you think about this thing?
Yeah, Joe would be the same. You know, a guy that I think would have been awesome. He doesn't play for the Browns anymore, but a guy that is really entertaining to me is Jarvis Landry. Mm-hmm. I always got along with him really well, and he's just really introspective, smart. He's a very, very cool interview.
I think currently it's Joe Burrow.
Is he interesting,
he's
though,
so
as much
short,
as we love him?
Though.
I think you'd be able to open it up a little bit.
Maybe. I think the Blue Jackets...
Jamar Chase would be fun, too.
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets have two that would be great at it, and that's Charlie Coyle and Matthew Olivier.
Yeah.
They could come on here, I'm sure, and talk sports or whatever all day.
Yeah, and have fun. Yeah. There's some good ones. That's a good question.
Because, Joe, you could at least throw, like, fashion just for fun. I mean, we've done, of this hour, 25 minutes on beer. So you could just learn things about fashion that he... You find out what he's passionate about and be like, well, this cat's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him talking to, what was it, like the dinosaur bones or whatever?
The Batmobile.
What was it on quarterback, the thing at the Science Museum? Was
That's
it
right,
dinosaur bones?
I think it was, yeah.
I mean, Miles is kind of interesting from that aspect, too, but I just think he likes talking to anybody.
Yeah,
right. Then we'd have to talk about speeding tickets.
Joe, at least, I think, enjoys conversations.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Matt, by the way, says Bozunk having an old school TV in his combine must have been a scene. He really wanted to know what was happening with the Newmans and Abbotts and
what was his favorite? Like, what was his can't miss?
I could tell you right now, it was unbelievable. It was a routine. So it was 10 o'clock. Price is Right. No, I'm sorry. 10 o'clock. Young and the Restless. 11 o'clock. Price is Right. Noon. The MTN Montana News Network. And the last 10 minutes of that was the Montana Egg Report. So that was critical. Got to get the Egg Report from those folks. And then at 12:30 was the Bold and the Beautiful. So that was the routine. Every single day he would watch with the rabbit ears on there. Uncle Gerald was a scene, man. Actually, I mean, don't mean to take this morbid, but he actually died when I was a kid. He died drag racing his pickup truck down I-10. And while it was sad and shocking and all of those things, it's also the exact way that Uncle Gerald had to go. There's no other way that he was going to go. He couldn't be any other. No, he's going to have an Oli in his hand, and he was going to be drag racing at 2:30 in the morning on I-10, and that's the way it was going to go. I-15. That's the way that it went. But God, he was an interesting guy. He had one of those vans that had like the mural on the side of it with like the, you remember those, like the Chevy vans with like the mural? Like the A-Team van, except it had
like a wildlife scene.
Yeah,
like a landscape painting.
Yeah, like a wildlife mural. And then there was like all these couches in it. And the crazy thing about him is like, if anybody in the family wanted to like go on a road trip, he'd let you borrow it. You could borrow it.
Did you ever take one? Did you ever take him up on it?
No, I always pissed off at my dad. I'm like, Dad, why don't we borrow Uncle Gerald's van? Wouldn't this make driving to Calgary a lot better?
That's why you like RCDRV now.
Of course. That's where my guys, because it's been my youth. It's in my history. He did the craziest stuff. He would put like, I remember him doing, God, I'm thinking about all of this now. He had like a small car. I can't remember if it was like, it might have been like a Pinot or something like that, or the Chevy version of that. And he took a 454 engine and put it in this thing.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Twist
like
the frame.
Chevy 454. He put it in this tiny car. I can't remember what the car was, but it was a smaller car. And he would just do stuff like that. Just screw around and do stuff like that. Nuts. When he would do far, I mean, this is, I can't believe all this stuff flooding back. We would do branding for him. And in Montana, branding, like all the community people come to the brandings to do the cows. His was like Studio 54. His branding was 10 hours. Everyone was bombed out of their mind by the end of it. It was unreal.
Was Uncle Gerald smoking a little peyote?
He very well could. My Uncle Tom had a teepee where he indulged in the peyote. Also, the first time I had some of the green stuff, I may have been a little bit too young, and my dad was probably not too happy. But, yeah, he definitely had a teepee.
Isn't there a scene in Yellowstone where they did, like, a branding party?
Lady Wilson didn't play at ours.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Lady Wilson and Zach Bryan didn't play at ours. But, yes, very, very, very similar. By the way, nothing would make Uncle Gerald more happy looking down on heaven than knowing that I just spent 10 minutes talking about how big of a legend he was. Nothing would make him more pleased. We'll get your officially endorsed in three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Amazon Business.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
When Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by the Ohio Poultry Association.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I raced one into the poll today.
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, do you think the Cavaliers can come back and beat the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals? 90% say no. They can.
Yeah, they can. I don't think it's set. I think you flush it, right? You flush it, you're on to the next. And honestly, they can go down 0-2. I think one generalization you hear in sports that I think is true, like a series doesn't start until you win on the other team's home court. And so I think, to me, like, even if they're down 0-2, they come back at home and win game three, they're right back in this thing. It's a first Friday. Hit it big. Or Reese.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
All right, we're going to go. I was inspired by all of this, and we're going to go in honor of Memorial Day and a great way to start any of the following Memorial Days. Quite honestly, if you want to start your Memorial Day weekend now, I don't blame you. Pretty smart job out of you if you planned ahead that way. We're going to go a High Bank Vodka Bloody Mary and a High Life Pony Sidecar. That's going to be your officially endorsed on this fine First Friday. Hopefully the weather responds a little bit this weekend and we're able to get a little warm and enjoy some nice cold beers. Let's all hope so. But that combination works as you're officially endorsed for this fine First Friday. Time for three things.
One, two. Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. Breaking news in the Wall Street Journal. Harvard voted to approve a cap on the number of A's per course, part of its years-long effort to curb grade inflation. Okay, when are you going to hit my middle school, my elementary school? Because I got news for you. There aren't 65 kids, 65. If there are 250 kids in a grade, 150 of them are magna cum laude. Everybody gets A's now, kids. I don't know if you've known this or not. There are no C's. Everybody gets A's. And my theory on this has been, and now it's at the highest level, that the teachers don't want to deal with parents complaining about their kids' grades, so they just give everybody A's. I'm really convinced it's that simple. The amount of kids I know who are all straight A's, my kids are all straight A's. They're not that smart.
So the Cleveland Guardians beat the Detroit Tigers last night. And so that was kind of your, reverse chaser. Because you felt really good, and then you felt really good with the Cavs until the fourth quarter. But for the Guardians, this is their best offense in years. Since April 29th, they're 13-6 with a .347 on-base percentage, averaging 5.4 runs per game. And it's one of those things to where you love watching them beat the Reds. You love watching them beat the Detroit Tigers all the time. but it goes to the point of the Dolans every single year where they don't have to spend and they can still get results on the field because they're plus 20 in run differential.
It's too bad the Haslams or the Dan Gilbert don't.
Dan. Like
Guardians, both of those would take care of that.
First thing for me, a lot of you guys know I went to Grove City High School, and Keegan Holmstrom, he played baseball at Grove City High School, and he goes to Wright State. He was named a Freshman of the Year in the Horizon League this year. All-team freshman and first-team all-league. He's a first baseman and a pitcher. He batted .370 this year in his redshirt freshman season, .442 slugging, .486 on base, a home run, 25 RBIs, and he had two big games against Ohio State. He was actually committed to Ohio State and unfortunately got lost in the coaching change from Justin Hare. But pretty cool to see him have some success over there at Wright State. Whoa. Some success.
Family program pick. Whoa.
They've got a good baseball program for Wright State for a long time.
Yeah, they really do. Number two for me, I got to eat my words here. While I do not enjoy the PGA Championship in May, you do. It rated out the it was like 8 million. They had massive numbers for the PGA Championship in May. Again, it's not a place I want it, but when you deliver like that from a rating standpoint, you got to admit that maybe it worked.
Congratulations to the seniors all over Central Ohio, especially the ones at Hilliard Darby who graduated last night, and they had their graduation ceremony at the Schottenstein Center. It was supposed to be today, but Bruno Mars is performing tonight at Ohio Stadium. So just plan your evening accordingly if you're going in and around the campus area. The students at Hilliard Darby wanted or were asking Bruno Mars to push his tour date back, but he's not going to do that because he's playing at the Horseshoe. So last night he sent an ice cream truck to Hilliard Darby's graduation ceremony. So good job out of him. And T's and P's to all the people going to brave the elements tonight for Bruno Mars at the Ohio Stadium.
My guy Braden Brotherton, one of those seniors that graduated last night at with Hilliard Darby. I just saw pictures this morning of Carolina and their setup for the Eastern Conference Finals that are beginning tonight with the red chairs and the white towels all over them. God, it got me so pumped. Like, I can't wait. I hope sometime in my lifetime we get that with the CBJ.
Go Habs. Go Habs. Finally, number three, among those who need your thoughts and prayers are Bootsy and the Blonde. They will be at Bruno Mars tonight. So I look forward to a full report on the concert and how young Bootsy enjoyed.
NFL at owners meetings in Orlando, eight international games in 2026. They're going to play at least 10. USA Today says maybe 13 international contests coming up in 2027. I don't know if we need more of these things.
They're going to get to 16.
Ah. And we can have
One every week except week 17.
We can have divisional games too now, so that's good. Rothman and Ice coming up next. They are loaded up. 12:30, Adam Schefter. 1 o'clock, Bo. This was pretty cool. You were talking about the PGA Championship. Ben Kern, who competed in that PGA Championship this past weekend, going to join him. And then the General Bob Carpenter at 2.
There you go. You have that to look forward to, which is nice. Uncle Gerald, I hope you appreciated all the love today up there, buddy. We are back tomorrow, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.